It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
Hey everyone, welcome to From the Kitchen Table. I'm Sean Duffy, along with my co-host for the podcast, my partner in life, and my wife, who is separated from me right now. She's at the kitchen table. I'm at Fox, but she is Rachel Campos. Duffy, hey Rachel.
It's great to be here. I'm here. Valentina's on spring break, and so she's sitting next to me making noises, and she just broke your reading glasses, Sean. I'm so sorry. I literally handed the reading glasses just to entertain her, and then she handed them back to me broken.
That's great.
So she owes me $2. I know. If you like the blue ones, they're gone. Anyway, it's great to be here, and we've been trying to get our next guest on for a while because we just think
We've been trying to get him on for months. He's a man in demand.
He's a man in demand, and I like him mostly because I just love positive people like this. People who are just putting positive energy, don't complain, and just get to work. And that is probably the best way to describe Scott Pressler, who is a conservative activist. Let's just bring him in right now, and we'll talk about what he was doing, how he started, and what he's up to now that he started an early vote action group. So, Scott, welcome to the kitchen table.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, y'all.
We're so happy. So first of all, we're going to get Sean's big question right out of the way. It's the first thing he asked you just before you came on. He said, how long did it take you to grow that hair out? And you said,
it's a hard-hitting interview. Years? Scott, it's a hard-hitting interview where I go, let's go to the first things first. Your hair, how long have you grown it? And why is it important?
Yeah, this is about 5 to 6 years of growth. And you know, at this point, it's the brand. People know me from my cowboy boots and my long hair. My dad, he's a retired Navy captain, so he hates the hair, but he loves me.
Sure. I love that. Can I ask you one more hair question, Scott?
Yes.
What's your conditioner? Because it looks really healthy to me.
Thank you. Well, you know, I'm going to be respectful and say I'm not going to reveal that until that contract comes in.
Smart guy. This is why. That is exactly why we want you in charge of early voting for the Republican Party. So, Scott, your background is so fascinating. You alluded a little bit to your dad there. You're the son of a retired Navy captain. I'm a military brat. That does give you a different kind of lifestyle and point of view and you know, just a certain sort of patriotic upbringing. You were also an Eagle Scout.
Yes.
Tell us how you got started just being a community activist in general.
Thank you. Well, I graduated from George Mason University in Fairfax, Virginia. You know, I always wanted to be a cop. People don't know that. And I was applying at the time to be a Border Patrol agent. And, you know, it was really hard for me. This was the President Obama years, so the economy wasn't great. And I did some temporary work working in an elementary school. I kind of saw my life going away from me. A lot of the kids that I graduated with, you know, they were getting careers. They weren't just jobs, but they were actually building a career for their lives. And I said, you know, I just want more. So I started working at an elementary school, and President Obama was reelected in 2012. And I said, Scott, you're a part of the problem because you aren't the solution. Where were you knocking on doors? Where were you registering voters? Where were you getting out the vote? And as opposed to pointing the finger at everybody else saying that they're the problem, I pointed it back at me and I said, you are gonna do something. So my first ever job was moving to Texas to elect now Governor Greg Abbott. And that was in 2014. And I said, Scott, you are going to help win back the White House in 2016. Justice Scalia, he had passed away, and I knew that the Supreme Court was on the line, and I wanted a conservative majority on that court. And so I spent 2 years of my life working to defeat Hillary Clinton and elect President Donald Trump. And ever since then, that was my launching pad to become the community organizer that I am today. And I want to thank President Obama.
Yeah,
that's right.
The original community organizer. You, yeah.
You know, but Scott, it's interesting. I want to tell the story about how you kind of really said, you know what, this I enjoy it. It's my passion. I can point the finger back at myself about what did I do? How have I made a positive impact? And instead of blaming everybody else, you're like, I can be a force for good. But it seems like you kind of just said, I'm going to do it by myself. You didn't raise a ton of money. You didn't have a whole team around you when you began. You just started making a difference in communities and people's lives and putting it on social media. And all of a sudden you became, you know, Scott Pressler. But how did you really start kind of going out on your own and making a difference in communities and starting to organize?
Yeah. Like, what's the first step?
Well, it's been an evolution. I think the first step is understanding that we all have value and agency, and we can. And so when President Trump was talking about the city of Baltimore, Maryland, and we'll say he used kind of choice words talking about the city, I remember thinking to myself, oh my gosh, I'm reminded of 2012, how I felt about myself. Here on social media, everybody's talking about the city in decay. They're talking about the city that definitely needs love and attention. Why is nobody offering a hand up? And so I tweeted out and I said, you know what? I'm going to the city of Baltimore. And within hours, the tweet went viral and everybody wanted to help. And I was like, uh-oh. But within 7 days, we organized a cleanup in the most dangerous streets of America. And with 200 volunteers, we picked up 12 tons of trash in 12 hours in one single day. And that day forever changed my life.
That's amazing. You know, it says a lot about you, but it also says a lot about Americans.
Yes.
You put out this tweet, like, let's go pick up trash. And it goes viral. And everyone's like, we're going to join this guy to pick up trash. I think it's one of the most underreported, under-talked about things is that Americans really do. That's the spirit, right? The can-do spirit. They're willing to roll up their sleeves.
Yes.
They're willing to get to work. And so when they see people, like we're seeing these crazy TikTok videos, Scott, of this Venezuelan illegal immigrant telling everybody how to get free stuff, it really ticks Americans off. He literally says, you guys are working hard so you can support us. But that is the spirit of Americans, working hard, trying to do the right thing. So you start picking up trash and you start doing these kind of different efforts around the country in different cities. How does it move to voter registration?
Hey, before you start, Scott, just to be clear for you and for all of our listeners and viewers, you're hearing knocking in the background. That's not a technical difficulty.
No.
Imagine that is Valentina.
That's a little girl trying to color, but stabbing at the paper.
Yes.
Sorry
so
about
just to be
that.
Clear. All right, Scott. Sorry about that. Just for clarification, go ahead and answer Rachel's question.
This whole episode is going to be like birth control for Scott.
No. But
he's going to be like,
opposite.
Don't want kids.
No, I am a natalist, and in fact, I want every single one of your viewers to have no fewer than 10 children. I think that we should populate this beautiful
Great.
Earth.
Great. Awesome.
Love it.
Oh, Scott,
Roll
you couldn't
nine,
make me
Scott.
Like
Roll
you more.
Nine.
I always thought I liked you, but now you say you're a natalist, too. You can't make me like you more. Okay, this is awesome. So on with that question, Sean.
Yeah, it's your question. You had a question,
I'm ready.
Scott.
Okay.
Yep, go ahead.
So I realized from that trash cleanup, I said, wait a second, Scott, you're thinking so small. This is one city. This is one day. I was able to do something with private citizens coming together in an act of love, realizing that we can do better than the government with its millions of dollars ever could. And I thought to myself, why can't we do this everywhere? So we did. We went to Atlanta, Austin, Baltimore, Chicago, Denver, Decatur, Detroit, Houston, Kenosha, Los Angeles, Miami, Milwaukee, Nashville, Portland, Pittsburgh, Philly, Salem. And I was even protested for picking up trash in San Francisco. But here, I know.
Who How dare thought? You?
And I thought to myself, I said, Scott, this is a Band-Aid. Why don't we do something more permanent? Let's get every person that cares about a clean and green environment. Let's get every person that cares about stopping the decay of our cities and register them to vote and get them involved in mayoral elections and city council elections and school board elections and make sure that these people are actually making a difference in their communities to elect people that are going to work on behalf of the people.
We'll be right back with much more after this.
Since the 1970s, working class Americans and U.S. investors who saved wealth in dollars have seen the dollar lose over 80% of its purchasing power. In contrast, investors who diversified their cash into gold saw gold appreciate over 5,000%. For Americans who invested $50,000 in gold when America left the gold standard in the 70s, their gold is worth more than $2.5 million today. While gold carries no guarantees and past performance does not equal future results, investors who do their own research will see that gold's performance over this time span is what gold has consistently done in the face of eroding paper currencies. For over 15 years, St. Joseph Partners has built its business with a singular focus on helping investors diversify their wealth and protect their families in physical gold and silver you hold in your hand. Don't let your hard-earned savings go unhedged. Call St. Joseph Partners or go to our joint website, kitchengold.net, not .com. That is kitchengold.net, and protect your wealth.
I love that, Scott. First off, I got to tell you, there's two people, Rachel knows a few more than I do, but only two people in my life now that I know that refer to themselves in the third person. Scott and Donald. I love it. I said, Scott, this is what we're going to do, Scott.
There's one other person, Sean.
Is that Puck
Rainey?
Puck Rainey, I know. That's
from the Real World.
Puck Rainey, and it's wonderful. But Scott, here's what I want to, because I think this is a fascinating conversation, because you have such positive energy. You do this out of love, trying to make a difference in communities. And then you're like, there's a political component, because I think politics actually matter in people's lives as well. So I'm going to get involved in the political side of this also. But it comes from a beautiful, good-hearted nature that you have, Scott. And my frustration, I was a congressman for 10 years, and Republicans are so bad at it. They don't know how to organize anybody or anything. And Democrats, going back to Barack Obama, are really good organizers of voters and of people, and they get them to the polls and they do it with lies. And once they get them to vote, they forget about them. And they hang out with, you know, Barack Obama and Bill Clinton and a whole bunch of elite stars like they are in New York this week, Joe Biden. What do Republicans have to do? What lessons can Republicans learn from Scott Pressler about how they have to activate and energize a ground game based in love and caring, but also getting people to use that love and care to actually check a box and go to the polls and have their voices be heard in November?
Okay, give me 2 minutes. You ready? So number one, let's talk about Chuck. I want to give a shout out to Chuck in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He was born in 1968. He's never voted in his whole life. He messaged me on Twitter saying, Scott, I want to register. What do I do? I said, Chuck, tell me where to go. So I drove an hour out of my way. I meet him at a construction site. He takes me up to his office. I register him to vote. We now have become friends. We even went out to the bar together, and he's talking to all the people at the bar, asking them if they're registered to vote. He texted me and goes, Scott, in the last week, I've registered 9 people to vote. The power of one, that if we invest in people, they will invest in us. But wait, there's more. So this upcoming weekend on April 6th, you want to talk organizing? This is how organized we are. In Monroeville, which is Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, on April 6th, we will be registering voters at a gun show. During that same day, we will also have volunteers registering voters at the Philly Expo Center, which is in Phoenixville, just north of Philadelphia. Then on that same day, guess what? WrestleMania baby is coming to town, and you bet your behind that we are going to be there at WrestleMania registering all of those wonderful people to vote. And then, no, it gets better. 2 days later, did you know that an eclipse is happening in Erie, mm-hmm. Pennsylvania? 250,000 people are descending upon Erie County, Pennsylvania. So you bet that we are going to be tailgating, we are going to be at gas stations, we are going to be at Presque Isle State Park, and we are going to engage with as many gosh darn people as possible. And it's things like this that are going to help prepare for victory this November, on Tuesday, November 5th, 2024.
So, you know, I started to, I'm on Twitter too much. This is the big fight that Sean and I have. I get a lot of my news from Twitter, and I kind of like to get the pulse of what's going on. That's kind of how I started following what you were doing. And when I saw that you were organizing or registering the Amish, not only was I excited that you were doing that, but I was going, why the hell haven't the Republicans been doing this before? So what is it? What is the insight that, first of all, I want to hear the Amish story. Because I remember during, I think it was the 2020 election, I started to see like Amish parades. Like they, it was like their horse-drawn carriages with Trump signs on them.
There, yeah,
and they were
parades,
going down the road.
There, yes. there were golf cart parades and Amish, you know, horse-drawn carriage parades.
Carriage parades. So, of course, this was really smart to register them. And so I want to know, first of all, how did you get the idea? How did it all work out? And why you think, I'm sorry to give you a three-part question like that, but why hasn't the RNC been as, I guess, targeted as you into these like little things? I mean, it makes sense. Go to NASCAR. Go to the MMA fights. Go to the WrestleMania. Yeah, go ahead.
So, well, number one, let's break down the numbers. My organization, Early Vote Action, earlyvoteaction.com, is focused on Arizona, Nevada, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. Now, I'm a Pennsylvania boy by heart. I love the state. So Joe Biden in 2020, he was able to win by more than 80,000 votes. I'm a numbers guy. I'm a stats guy. Let's break it down. There are 80,000 Amish in Pennsylvania. That's the election. There are 80,000 truckers in Pennsylvania. That's the election. There are 400,000 members of the Jewish community. That is the election, especially after October 7th and Hamas. There are 800,000 veterans. It is the fourth largest state home to our veteran community in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And last, this is important, because 40% of Wisconsin hunters are not registered to vote. That
blew
my mind. And in a state like Wisconsin, which is 20,000 voters, could hunters and gun owners literally save the country? Yes. So there are 930,000 hunters in Pennsylvania. My goal is to register, mobilize, and activate those demographic groups, and we will win the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Now, because you gave me three questions, let's do part two. Part two is, how did I start reaching out to the Amish? Well, it's about knowing where the Amish are. Amish go to farmers markets. So I want to give a shout out to Ryan Sexton in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, who goes to the Green Dragon Farmers Market every Friday and registers people to vote, especially the Amish. Did you know that in Pennsylvania, there's something called a mud seal? You're probably like, Scott, what the heck is a mud seal? It's actually an auction. That's where the Amish go to have auctions. We must be there at their mud sales. Furthermore, the gun shows. Oh my gosh, when we were at the Great American Outdoor Show, a lot of the vendors were Amish. And so literally, I would point out every Amish person and I would say to them humbly and respectfully and graciously, there are 80,000 Amish in Pennsylvania. If you guys collectively voted, if you registered, if you made your voices heard, you, the Amish, could help save our country and help save Western civilization. And by planting those seeds, we were able, on one of those days at the show, one out of every five voters we registered were members of the Amish community. Last, I'm almost done. I do want to give a shout out to Chairwoman Juanita Beiler of the Mifflin County Republican Party, who I will be at this next week, because get this, the Amish are letting me milk a cow. I will be milking a cow on April 3rd. And I will also be riding in a buggy. Let's go.
So, this is,
I love it.
This is great. So I had
Sean, can I tell you something? Yeah. He obviously was profiling Amish to in the gun show.
I love it. By the way, when I campaigned, I went to boat shows, gun shows.
Right.
I would stand outside. Scott, I would stand outside when I was campaigning. No one knew who I was, but I would stand outside. I'd get by the door where everyone has to go through the main door to get into the sports show. I would stand out there. It'd be cold in Wisconsin, and I would shake hands and pass out literature to everyone who went in and everybody who went out, because if I missed them on the way in, I got them on the way out. And it was like shooting fish in a barrel. It's like, these are our voters.
These are your people.
You got to touch them and you got to introduce yourself. I'm going to come back to the Amish in a second, but I just got to make a quick comment. You said, are you from Pennsylvania, Scott?
No, I'm from Florida. From Florida. My dad's a retired Navy captain, represent Jacksonville.
Okay. So when I hear you speak, for some wild reason, I don't know if Rachel knows where I'm going to go with this. I'm like, you are a brother from Wisconsin. Because your accent is accent. Like, you are right from, you know, Wisconsin Midwest, or Minnesota. Yeah. And I can't believe you're from Florida. But because you're going to fit right into Wisconsin when you go there. You speak Wisconsinese.
Well, you know why? It's because I spent so much gosh darn time in Wisconsin, from Milwaukee to Waukesha to Menominee,
you betcha,
to Eau Claire to La Crosse. I mean, I've been all over the state.
So quick, have you been to Quick Trip in Wisconsin?
Of course.
Quick Trip is the best convenience store in the world. They were farmers and they sell milk. Anyways, I'm not going to go into Quick.
The owners were farmers who start. Yeah.
They sell cheap milk, cheap eggs. I would almost run out of gas on the campaign trail to get to my next Quick Trip when I was in Congress. But my question to you now is,
you just won over Sean's heart by saying you knew what Quick Trip was.
Listen, I love it. So I always thought that Amish didn't vote. I thought there's a religious component why they didn't actually express themselves at the ballot box. And is that wrong? If you talk to them and encourage them to vote, you're registering them and they're actually willing to vote in the November election?
You know, in some sects, S-E-C-T-S, of the faith, there are different people that feel, for example, they believe in the heavenly kingdom versus the earthly kingdom. And so therefore, they're mission on this earth is to prepare themselves for the heavenly kingdom. And so some people, for example, feel that the Amish shouldn't vote for the commander in chief because that person could engage in war activities and they are very much pacifist. They are very much peaceful people. Now, other people I've heard from, they go, my father voted, my grandfather voted, all of the elders in my family voted. But I will tell you that not only did we register new Amish, we have registered new Mennonites to vote, but we even had the opportunity, thankfully, to speak to a bishop within the community. And the bishop, he was very intent on listening to us. We spoke to him for an hour, and we spoke to him truly about the grave and serious danger that our country and our globe is in. And when I spoke to this bishop very clearly, and I said to him, listen, the Amish could help install a commander-in-chief that will help to affect global peace, world peace. And when I said global, it really ticked off something for him in a positive way. And he went, really? He goes, the Amish vote could help achieve global peace. And I said, yes, by electing a president that's going to fight for peace like we had 4 years ago. Yes.
Yeah. That's such a great point. You're like a diplomat.
Rachel, let me just, wasn't it the Amish farmer who was selling non-pasteurized raw milk was raided by the FBI. So their freedom and their way of life is also at stake when you have a government that is so abusive. Hopefully that with global peace and being able to sell raw milk, a little bit of freedom there will instigate them to go to the polls and partake in this next election. I'm sorry, Rachel, go ahead. I just want to
I love that you brought that up because, I mean, what I see Scott doing is bringing up things that the Republican Party doesn't even realize that they do. First of all, think about that. Just one thing that you brought up, Sean, how out of control the FBI is, how it's targeting conservatives and people who even want just to grow their own food freely. You bring up it touches on religious liberty. It touches on, you know, world peace and what our money is going towards, because right now we're paying for wars all over the world. You know, we didn't have any wars started under President Trump. So I think what you're doing is really highlighting things that sadly, I mean, I'm happy we have new leadership at the RNC, but I haven't seen the RNC really champion these niche issues to get at, you know, all these different groups. I haven't seen them doing that before.
Well, a couple things. Number one, yes, we did bring attention to Amos Miller, that Amish dairy farmer in Lancaster, who was being attacked for raw milk. And yes, every single aspect of Amish living is under attack, from the forced vaccinations to school choice.
Yeah.
freedom, to small businesses, to dairy and raw farming. Those are all things that affect that community, which is why I'm pinpointing them. But furthermore, here is Republicans' problem. We are individualist by nature that look at ourselves as a group collectively. The Democrats are collectivists by nature who look at each group individually. And that's what we must do. We must become more like the Democrats in that they go the Asian community, the Black community, the white community, veterans, whatever. We must do the same, because what Republicans don't understand is you know, we go all lives matter, which is great. And I agree. But we must say to the voter, I see you. I value you. I acknowledge you. I respect you. It's about being seen. That's what we must do as a party.
You know, it's so well said. And as I speak to those in the Black community, I'll ask obviously Donald Trump has some runway to go from what 10% of the vote to 20% of the vote in the Black community. And I'll always ask, what does Trump and Republicans, what do they have to do? And the answer, I ask it at different times to different people. The answer is always the same. You have to show up. You have to actually talk to people in the community. You actually have to care about the things they care about. Mm-hmm. Yes. And if you don't care to show up, why do they care about voting for you? Which is a really simple thing, and especially when you have a Democrat party that wants to continually tell the Black community that Republicans hate you. Donald Trump hates you. They say that about Hispanics as well. Donald Trump hates Hispanics. Not true. But if you don't show up to disavow them of the Democrat messaging, they might just believe it. And so half the battle is just show up and talk to them about the things that matter to them, that is part of what your party believes.
And I don't mean to dominate, so pardon me if I'm overstepping.
But we want you to dominate, Scott.
Let's wrap a big, beautiful red bow on everything that we're talking about right now. The biggest issue in this election, the focal point for 2024, is illegal immigration and securing the border. And more importantly, let's take a positive theme from it for a second. America comes first. This is about putting every Black, every white, every brown, every yellow American first. And look at Chicago. Oh, my word. We are seeing in Manhattan veterans being pushed out of their homes for illegal immigrants. Mm-hmm. We're seeing Chicago and Detroit and Milwaukee. And oh my gosh, look at California. There is urban decay, and that decay is spreading across our country. And Black Americans in Chicago are begging for us to come. And that's why I want anyone that watches this program right now to know I have heard your call, and we are coming to Chicago, and we look forward to sitting down with the Black community, to opening our ears and listening to the Black community, to speaking about how we can actually fix these problems. And when I met with Laura Trump, I told her, she said, is there anything else that you have to say? I said, please go to Chicago. Please sit down with the Black community, because that in itself, the optics of Laura Trump, a member of the Trump family, a co-chair of the Republican Party, taking her time to meet with the Black community. Those are the things that we have to do.
Yeah, it's so important. So let's talk about, there's a little bit of drama. Explain to me what happened. So I'm on Twitter. I suddenly see that, you know, Laura Trump is gonna hire you onto the RNC. And then the next thing I hear is they're not gonna hire you. You're gonna stay at Early Vote Action. Can you just break down what happened there? Because there seemed to be like no explanation. And I just was curious what happened.
Well, in this business, I'm sure that we all realize that we can't always say everything. But I will say, A, when are people starting to believe other cable news networks and reporting that they are putting out there? We'll just say very respectfully that, bless their hearts, that was some fake news that was going out there. And I think our people should discern, be mindful that other cable networks aren't up to the standard of Fox News.
Wait right there. We're going to have more of that conversation next.
Hey, folks, it's your man, Keyshawn Johnson, here to talk about Angie, formerly known as Angie's List, your go-to home services marketplace for getting all your jobs done well. Now, you might be wondering, what exactly is Angie? Well, let me tell you, it's the nation's largest home services marketplace, connecting over 150 million homeowners with skilled professionals to tackle any project, big or small. As a homeowner myself, I always have things I want to work on for my house, whether it's general home renovations or fun projects like putting in a pool. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it a breeze to research, compare, and hire pros, ensuring every job is done well. Whether you're fixing a leaky faucet or planning a full kitchen renovation, Angie's got your back. And get this, folks. Angie's pros aren't just any old contractors. They're your neighbors, often running small businesses right in your community. Plus, they've been rated and reviewed by others in your area, so you know you're getting quality service. So why stress over home projects when you can turn to Angie? From finding the best price to scheduling a pro at your convenience, Angie's got you covered every step of the way. So get started today at Angie.com. That's Angie.com, or download the app today to get started on getting all your jobs done. That's Angie, your trusted ally in home services.
I'll double down on that.
So what is your relationship with the RNC now then?
2 days ago, I was sitting at the RNC headquarters for the first time ever with Laura Trump, explaining the work that we're doing at Early Vote Action, earlyvoteaction.com, with a mutual understanding that both of our organizations are working towards a Republican overwhelming victory on Tuesday, November 5th, 2024.
Great.
So Scott, so Early Vote Action, right? And again, I think sometimes to be on your own and build your own organization and do the build out from there sometimes can be more powerful and more effective. So maybe what might seem to be not great news, I can take that as a plus up, because I think the work you've done and to continue it without any handcuffs or constraints, I think is a really positive development.
And I want to be clear, so sorry to interrupt you, but look, I want my viewers that are going to watch this, my followers, my supporters, I am unbought, I am unbossed, I am not paid for, I don't have anybody chirping in my ear telling me what I can and cannot do. This is the same Scott Pressler that's going to continue his work with earlyvoteaction.com.
So, yeah, you're like the Donald Trump of early voting.
So, Scott, I want to get to that. So Early Vote Action. Obviously, you've taken one guy with a passion saying, hey, on Twitter, let's go clean up Baltimore, to building out a whole enterprise that has believed in love and message and helping people, which is pretty remarkable. But obviously, you need to get funding. Is it Republican donors that come in and step in and help? Does the RNC give you some money as well? How many people work with you? Can you give us the background and where we can find more on Early Vote Action?
Well, this is a small, very frugal team of three people right now. And I have to tell you, I'm going to be honest, I'm not even taking a salary from my own organization right now. That's how much this is a passion project. This is a labor.
How are you surviving?
That I'm doing.
How do you survive, Scott?
Well, I do a lot of couch surfing. People open their homes to me, and I do a lot of cuddling with animals. It's a little different when the owner tries to cuddle with you, but we won't go. And so I have such generous people that will go, Scott, you know, can I buy you a cup of coffee? Scott, can I take you a quick trip or sheets? You know, Scott, can I get some gas for you? The amount of love on our side is unreal. And I'll tell you that I'm actually looking to move to Pennsylvania. I want my vote to help Donald Trump win the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And I am all focused on those states of Arizona, Nevada, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. I want to win this election.
I absolutely love this. So I have to ask you this. So first of all, I'm so happy you're doing early voting. I'm one of those people that was super resistant to this because I have been wanting someone to declare election day a holiday, a federal holiday, and everyone votes on the same day. And I was sort of kicking and screaming to the early voting. So why don't you lay down your case for why Republicans have to just get in on this game?
Sure, I'll be very brief. The impetus of this organization, Early Vote Action, began in January of 2023. Why? Because 2022, guys, it was supposed to be this red monster tsunami, right? You had Joe Biden with the border crisis. He was doing nothing. You had Kamala, the czar, that did nothing for our country. You had inflation. You had gas prices going at $4, $5, $6 that inspired gas station voter registration. Then you have Putin invade Ukraine, starting up a new war that we didn't have under President Trump 4 years ago, 2 years ago. You had all of these things that should have led to a Republican sweep victory. And instead, we only narrowly win the House of Representatives, getting a small majority in the House. And then we elect Jan Fetterman in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania to the United States Senate. What in the world went wrong? Couple things. Number one, now this is factual. I'm not saying anything that is not factual. In Arizona, machines went down on what day? Election day. Mm-hmm. It snowed in Nevada and Washoe County. I know that sounds weird, but it snowed on election day in Reno on what day? Election day. In Luzerne County, Pennsylvania, they ran out of paper ballots on what day? Election day. In Harris County, Texas, they ran out of paper ballots on what day? Election day. My argument is when you look at a state like Pennsylvania that has 50 days of early voting, 50, not 15, 50, that Democrats vote for weeks, sometimes months. Republicans vote for 12 hours. And we wonder why we have a difficult time winning elections.
You know, Scott, you make a good point. I share this with Rachel. I hate the fact that you can vote for 50 days. I hate that you can vote for 20 days. I think, you know, if you're going to be gone, get an absentee ballot. That's what I did in Wisconsin. I showed an ID. I got a ballot and I voted early, gave him my ballot in a sealed envelope. Otherwise, you vote on election day. But the point is, those aren't the rules. I can wish those were the rules, but they're not the rules. And I think Republicans, to your point, have to get on board and go, what rules are in place? And until we change the rules, we have to play by these rules and engage in these rules and try to win by these rules. And that means get the early vote out. Bank as many votes as possible, especially those with those voters who are low propensity voters. Touch them. Message to them. Get their ballots in.
Yes, and let's break it down for a second because I think it's so important to have an actual evidence of why this is important. Think of people for a second that share conservative values that may not be at their precinct on election day, that may not be able to vote on election day. Truckers, firefighters, police, teachers, members of our United States military, doctors, those are all people that share conservative values that may not be able to vote. Furthermore, and I know this is super weird, but guys, the Amish get married on Tuesdays in November. Did you know that? They get married on Tuesdays in November. So we need to get a mail-in ballot and a drop box in every Amish community in America. And I'm telling you, that wins Wisconsin because there are 40,000 Amish in Wisconsin as well. And their population is growing because they are baby-making machines. So we must focus on getting them to vote early as well.
Scott, there are a lot of countries that don't have mail-in ballots for good reason, because I think mail-in ballots invite fraud. And I believe that that happens with them. No one will be able to disavow me of that. I absolutely believe that. But I guess your point is that if we register people early, we get these votes in early, we might have a chance at overcoming that aspect of the election. And as Donald Trump says, it's got to be too big to rig.
This is just about, look, I'm not here trying to necessarily convert anybody and turn them into an early voter. I just know that we're falling short in some of these elections, and some things are happening on election day, which are actually disenfranchising voters, disenfranchising our elderly or moms or dads or people that are just trying to work for a living. And my goal at Early Vote Action is to lock in every single gosh darn vote. That's it.
Good for you. Good for you.
Scott, I love it. You are an inspiration. You really are. And again, your energy is contagious. Your passion is contagious. I think that you do it out of love is contagious. It's you have a wonderful message for a party that truly needs your message now, and a party that needs someone to show them how to do it. To say, you may not know how to do it. You may look at Democrats, how they do it, but I'm going to show you how a Trump-supporting Republican conservative can do this and do it really well. That message is an example is needed now more than ever. And I'm grateful to share a party with you and share the podcast with you as well. But thank you for being an example of how we make things better and how we fight in these rules with these rules and how we can actually win with these rules and doing it by showing the pathway, showing the way to do it, not by a philosophy, not by a speech, but by action itself, making a difference in organizing people to get out and vote and make sure we save our country.
Your parents did a great job with you, Scott. I don't know what the lessons are. We'll have to bring you back, and we're gonna have to. Maybe I need to bring your dad back and do a parenting class with him, a podcast with him. I'm so impressed. I think you are exactly what you give a lot of hope to people because you're young and you're so ambitious and you do it with such love in your heart, as Sean said, and you have such a great vision for the party and for the moment that we're living in, which is so crucial. So much is on the line. Thank you so much, Scott, for joining us. We're so grateful.
Hey, thank you guys very much. So nice to meet you, and you guys have a wonderful week.
Keep up the great work, Scott. Thank you so much.
Keep it up.
Get at the kitchen table.
Much love, much respect.
Thank you all.
Bye.
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 Listen, Rachel, I love that we had Scott on. You've been saying we need Scott Pressler on our podcast. You've been saying it for months because he is what you see on the podcast is what you see on social media. He's just a breath of fresh air and such a positive guy with a Wisconsin accent from Florida. So it doesn't get better than that.
Go figure. You know, the whole time I was listening to him, sometimes it's hard for me to take my political spouse hat off. I get PTSD still from those days. I just think, what would you have done to have a volunteer like that, Sean? I mean, listen, I'm not undermining the volunteers. We had Jim Miller, Debbie Lulich. I mean, I can't tell you, we had amazing volunteers.
Amazing.
This guy is relentless too. He's positive. He's creative. He's thinking outside the box. Again, this Amish thing, going to these Republican events, figuring out the numbers. Like, this is what we need in Pennsylvania. By the way, he brought up Fetterman, Sean. You know, Fetterman's been tacking to the right, and I've sort of been scratching my head. I wonder if Scott Pressler's work, I mean, listen, Joe Biden ruining the country is probably hurting him in Pennsylvania. But knowing that there's someone like Pressler who wants to basically start living there so he can get as many voters registered, that can make a difference in a state like that,
It totally can. And what's interesting is I think a lot of Trump supporters or Republicans sit back and go, well, of course, the RNC is organizing in the Hispanic community or the Black community or in the Amish community or with gun owners. Of course, that's what they'd be doing. That's why we give money to the RNC. And the truth is, they're not really doing that.
They weren't really doing it. Yeah.
And so I think Scott has ripped the Band-Aid off and shown a wound at the RNC and some failings of the RNC. But they can learn from him. We had to figure it out, Rachel. We would go to gun shows. I would go to fairs and festivals and dairy breakfasts. People who liked me, people who didn't like me. But I would talk to as many people as possible. But it is political malfeasance to have a group of what would be Republican voters that you leave on the table because you haven't registered them to vote and you haven't talked to them to get them to the ballot to vote in November. That is malpractice.
I think a lot of Republicans too, Sean, are going to feel a lot better now. And I think a lot of them weren't writing those checks a few months ago. They weren't sure what's going on. They were seeing somebody like Scott Pressler doing it for free, sleeping, couch surfing and registering people that the RNC was getting paid to do. And it wasn't happening. I think there's obviously a new boss in town, Lara, and I forget the name of the other co-chair. The fact that they've brought Scott in, good for them. And I think it's going to make a difference. And there's enough time to make a difference. It's not like they figured this out in September. The changes are already underway. And I think there's plenty of time for them to get their acts together, figure out what the problems were, fire the people who weren't doing their work at the RNC, and start following a model, the kind of model that Scott Pressler has put forward. I think he's a remarkable American, and it was just an honor to have him on.
It was. And just another quick note on that. He mentioned a guy in Pennsylvania, I forgot his name, who he met and said, the guy said, how do I register to vote? Scott says, I drove 2 hours and I registered him to vote. And we went out to the bar and had a beer together and they become friends. Well, all of a sudden, the one guy that Scott Pressler touched registered in the next week, another 9 people at the bar that they went to, right? So it's the inspiration of one that can impact so many others to go, I saw what Scott did. I'm going to do it in my own small way in the communities and the places that I circulate, whether it's my little coffee clutch, whether it's my other, you know, hunters or church, all those places, people can start doing what he's doing, and it's contagious and his energy is contagious. And which is why I love him. And again, you've been a huge fan of his for a long time. And we saw that energy, why he's become so popular on social media, because he just exudes happiness and great energy. So again, wonderful podcast. We thank you for joining. Rachel, hopefully next time we'll be together. I don't like doing the show as much when we're separated.
I don't like it when you're not here either.
But what I do like is doing a podcast where you have to deal with Valentina.
I know. She's going to say, I have to go change a diaper. I have to go change a diaper. I can tell. Already.
It's at the kitchen table. So you can't, what you can't see or smell right now, Rachel's dealing with. So we're going to end this podcast. Listen, thank you all for joining us at the kitchen table. If you like our podcast, rate, review, subscribe. Wherever you get your podcasts, you can always find us at foxnewspodcast.com. Subscribe. You get a notice when we drop. Like us as well. We appreciate you being with us, and it's a holy Thursday today. We're going into the Easter weekend. We want to wish you all a blessed Easter, and always remember the meaning for this season. It's the most important week in the Christian faith.
Amen to that. Amen to that. All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts. And Amazon Prime members can listen to the show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey there, it's me, Kennedy. Make sure to check out my podcast, Kennedy Saves the World. It is 5 days a week, every week. Download and listen at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.